right, everybody. Welcome back to the Crypto 101 podcast. My name is Brendan Veman. I'm one of your hosts over here. And we have a very special podcast in store for all of you today. This is actually someone that I was talking to a few months back during one of our crypto hedge fund summits. And I have to say, it was one of my favorite interviews that I have ever done before. We got a guy that is very passionate when it comes to Web3 gaming and decentralized gaming. And for all of you out there, that's something that I am certainly a little bit biased on as well. It's a space that I really enjoy hearing about. So we had to bring in the heavy artillery to kind of catch us all up to date into what's happening over in that space. So without further ado, I want to go ahead and introduce my dear friend, Mr. An Yavin. He is the managing partner of the Cointelligence Fund, and he's also the co-founder and CBO over at Syndica. He has more than 19 years of experience as an angel investor, and he is one of the top dogs that I look to when it comes to the metaverse and blockchain-based games. So An, welcome. It's great to have you here.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the very, very kind introduction.
Hey, well, this is going to be an exciting one because both of us are very heavily involved when it comes to this side of things. And there's a lot of developments. We're seeing global developments. It's one of those spaces where we truly are seeing work done and infrastructure built all over the globe. It's not something that's just in the United States, and it's a growing industry as well. So I'm excited to kind of pull you in here, get your thoughts on this. But for everyone that's tuning in and asking, what is Cointelligence and what's the Cointelligence Fund? You know, how can you catch everyone up to date on what you're actively doing?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for asking. So Cointelligence Fund is a crypto VC fund completely focused on the metaverse and blockchain-based games. We usually invest in the most early stages, seed or pre-seed. And one of the things that we are very proud at Cointelligence Fund is the fact that we are actively helping the founders of the projects that we are investing in. And I have to tell you that even though it's supposed to be an industry standard to help the founders, it's actually exactly the other way around. And most of the investors, unfortunately, will not do that. And that's why I am really, really proud of the fact that we've helped so much, so many founders already. And obviously what I'm saying is based on the founders' feedback, not just based on my personal opinion. And lastly, with regards to Cointelligence Fund, we are, it is very important for me to make a note that we are mainly investing in tokens, unless we get both tokens and equity. We never invest in equity only. Yeah, that's basically us.
Yeah, no, that's great. And so I want to go back to kind of your past. You have 19 years as an angel investor. You're someone that's been around. You've been doing this for a long time. What has you so excited about crypto gaming? Like, why shift your focus to pretty much this entirely?
Great question. So first of all, let's start with the fact that I'm a gamer and I've been a gamer all my life. And I'm very, very, very excited about the new gaming revolution that is happening. And that's the beginning of my answer to you. Beside the fact that I've been a gamer all my life and I can actually understand why this is such a big deal, I can tell you that the main reasons for me to be so excited about blockchain-based games is the fact that everything related to identity and ownership, and thanks to the decentralization of blockchain, it's something that we can actually achieve, especially when the time is right for cross-platform transfers, and I'm referring to in-game characters and in-game items, then it's going to become really, really exciting, but there's a long way to go until we get there. And beside the identity and ownership, I think that the fact that players can play and while playing make money, I think that's an amazing concept, which, by the way, is not something new at all. because it's been going on for at least a decade now, according to my personal experience, maybe even longer. And it didn't start in the last few years, like too many people think about that. Beside the two aspects that I mentioned, I think that there's going to be so many possibilities and opportunities thanks to everything that I mentioned with regards to the gaming revolution. I think that some of the things will be found in the next few years, and even I myself cannot figure out what's coming, at least some of it. So I'm very, very excited to see what's happening in the next few years.
Yeah, and I want to clarify before we begin here that the gaming space in its entirety, not just blockchain gaming, the gaming space is a huge industry. We're now looking at somewhere between 3 to 4 billion gamers across the world. It's pushing about 40% of the world's population is playing video games in some sort or another, whether that's on their phone, whether that's on a console, whether that's on a computer, it doesn't matter. It's pushing towards that 40% mark. So now we now have billions of people that are doing this every single day, kind of as an escape from reality. And we also have this now as a multi-hundred-billion-dollar industry. Like, this is a huge industry. It's grown rapidly over the past couple of years, especially in the last couple of decades. And so we're looking at this. And for all the people out there that are saying, hey, gaming is kind of a kid's thing, this is what kids do when they're growing up, it has very quickly become so much more than that. This is something that people of all ages are doing all around the world. And it now is this global phenomenon. It's not just something that's limited to little kids. It's not just something that's limited to maybe just like boys that are growing up. Like, this seriously is this massive industry that billions of people are taking part of. You know, hundreds of billions of dollars are involved with this every single year. And I think that that's an important reference point to look at from an investing standpoint, because when you look at the market share that cryptocurrency has taken out of the gaming pool, it's still so, so small. So, you know, maybe you can kind of talk towards that. But crypto still represents such a small portion of that overall gaming market pool.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. And I think that we've seen huge growth for the gaming industry in the last decade. And when I say huge, it's actually an unbelievable growth. And to be honest, I think it didn't even start yet, because thanks to everything that we discussed before, what you mentioned, I think that the gaming industry is going to explode in a way that it's impossible to understand now. And I think that gaming is not just going to be standalone, but is going to be a part of so many other things that we are doing today. And everybody already heard about the word gamification, and we've seen that so many companies out there went through gamification processes. But don't get me wrong, it's not that. I'm not referring to that. I'm referring to something on a much, much higher scale and on a much, much deeper and in-depth scale compared to what we've seen until now.
Yeah, and I'd love to have you kind of just talk about, like, what is gamification? How is Web3 different from Web2? And for the people that are kind of watching this and listening, you know, how is Web3 gaming going to be different from the gaming that everyone's been doing for so many years now?
Of course, of course. So first of all, I mentioned before everything related to identity and ownership. And I'd like to explain what I mean. So today, when you play a game, everything that you're doing while you're playing, everything that you gathered, everything that you achieved, everything that you have completed belongs to the developer of the game. It doesn't belong to you. It's exactly the same as people sometimes think that their money in their bank account belongs to them. No, it belongs to the bank. And it clearly states that way in every agreement that you sign with the bank, by the way. Most people are just ignoring it or missing it. And going back to gaming, same thing is happening with gaming. Everything that you're doing, all of your efforts belong to the development company that created the game. With blockchain-based games and the fact that you can actually own your in-game characters and in-game items, is one of the biggest deals, in my opinion. And I'll give you an example that happened to me. I spent hundreds of hours playing one of my favorite games, or I should say my favorite game, which is World of Warcraft. My account was hacked, and I was never able to recover everything that I achieved for that specific account. Now, you have to realize that I spent hundreds of hours of achieving everything that I have achieved, and it was all gone one day, as simple as that. Now, even though Blizzard, the developer company behind World of Warcraft, they could have helped me potentially, they decided not to help me for their own reasons. So not only you don't own it, you're also completely helpless and dependent on the developer company behind the game. With the new blockchain-based games concept, it's not going to be the case. You are going to be the owner of everything. You're going to be in full control of everything. And one last thing I would like to add, it doesn't mean that if your, let's say, crypto wallet was hacked and all of your assets were drained, nobody will be able to help you. Just to clarify on that, not the development company that developed the game or anything like that. So don't get me wrong, it's not a perfect solution for everything, but it's a much, much better scenario and much, much better use case compared to the current ones.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So let me get this right. If someone is playing a game, and in these games, they're always working towards items, they're purchasing items, whether that is maybe an outfit for your character, maybe it's a skin for something that's in game, maybe it's a vehicle or a car or clothes or whatever it is, right? There's all these different facets for every single game. Maybe it's the character itself. You will have ownership over pretty much everything in that game. So that way, if you get a rare drop, if you do a rare achievement, you can actually negotiate and buy and sell and trade that for other things of value. Is that kind of correct?
Absolutely. And not only that, it's as you mentioned, it's going to be every single item and character in the game. Mm. And also, it's not only what you gathered and what you achieved, but also what you created, because a part of these games is to create. So if you're going to create your own space inside the virtual world of that game, it's going to belong to you.
Yeah, I like this because you look at some of the most successful games out there. Not every game, but you look at something like CSGO, right? Counter-Strike Global Offensive. They have this decentralized marketplace, right? It's not truly decentralized because you can only trade items around within Steam, which is a game provider. So, you know, yeah, you can buy and sell for real money. Let me add that in there. And so there's items that people have that are $1,000, $10,000, $100,000 per each item in game. Not everything's that expensive, but it allows players to actually have in-game items that are of value. And some people hit it big and they all the time that they put in and it shows and it pays back. And people love that about a game like that. But then there's other games like World of Warcraft, or maybe even like League of Legends, for people that are familiar with those, where you can get something crazy and you can put 1,000 hours into it and you're really going to have no way to capitalize on it. It happened to me in a game called League of Legends. I got this crazy rare drop. It was worth $500, but the only way to get rid of it was to go to a third-party site and sell the account in its entirety, give away like the passwords and the email and everything. And no one wants to do that, right? Because then you're giving away your digital identity. Like, that person is who you are. It's what you've built. And sometimes you don't want it to be this all or nothing scenario that may or may not go against the gaming provider's terms of service, which I think it's its own entire conversation to kind of talk about how, you know, silly that may be. But there's a lot of like different ways that this can go. So, you know, I'll kind of leave it at that.
Yes, absolutely. And these third party websites that you're referring to, these marketplaces, they are actually offering people to buy characters, to buy the in-game currency, and so on. But they do not offer you to buy or sell specific items, as you said, because that's completely impossible, because you can't transfer the really good items, because then they are considered to be soulbound and they are not transferable to anyone else. So you're absolutely right about that. And the biggest problem is that it's, like you said, against the game rules. So first of all, if you do that, you are risking getting banned. So if you sold the account or if you bought the account, then either way, you get you can get banned and then you lost. And so it's completely worthless. But beside that, and more importantly, in my opinion, it's too much of a hassle, and it's and because it's considered to be shady, then most people will not do that. So the market for it is very, very low, considerably, because it's not considered to be legit. And beside all of that, like you said, you can capitalize it or monetize you playing the games. But I have to tell you that as much as I love that concept, we do have to remember that the first priority for any game developer out there is to build a game that is great and fun for the players. And then think about the monetization part that players will be able to achieve. So that's very important that our listeners will realize that.
I think that's a super important point, because we see a ton of these blockchain creators, a lot of these blockchain games come out, and the first marketing material that you see is like, hey, everyone, this is a blockchain game, so you should come play it. By the way, secondarily, this is what it's about. This is why it's a good game. But you feel like the blockchain side of things is slapping you in the face first, when in reality, it should be the other way around. It should be these companies or these creators saying, here is this really amazing game that you're going to want to play. By the way, a facet of this is that it integrates blockchain tech, so that you're able to do all these other things, but it should complement the game. It shouldn't be the game. And I think that's where a lot of projects have gone wrong. And that's why they have these shorter lifespans when it comes to Web3 games, is because they do things in the wrong operation. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, yes. I think that most of the blockchain-based games that we've seen until now were actually either scams or bullshit projects. They were not real games. I actually tried most of them in 2021, 2022. And as a gamer, I can tell you that these were not games. The second part is that, as you mentioned, they used to market it in that way. And I can tell you that today I'm advising all of my founders of our portfolio companies to not discuss anything related to blockchain or crypto at all. Actually, to launch the game as a regular game, to onboard users, and then at some point, see if they are interested in registering everything that they're doing on the blockchain, using the NFTs that are allowing you to do everything that we discussed before, and only then. But one last thing, don't get me wrong. And I've seen two problematic cases already when blockchain-based games projects actually hid the fact that they are based on blockchain, and that created a huge backlash for them at some point. Mm. So I'm not advising anyone to hide anything in general. Never hide anything or never lie about anything as long as you're raising funds and as long as you're working with the public and doing advertising or marketing for the public. Well, you shouldn't do it in general, but I'm emphasizing these are like the biggest problems that I see when founders are lying to potential investors or are lying to the public. Mm. And I think that they shouldn't be talking about the blockchain or cryptocurrency part, but they should have a page on the website explaining these parts.
Yeah.
But no need to push it, to market it, or to talk about that before anything else, of course.
No, that makes total sense. So when you're looking at these projects, like, what does your vetting process look like? Because clearly, you've probably seen hundreds of them. So how do you vet out the good versus the bad ones, the ones that have potential, the ones that don't? What are you looking for?
It's actually thousands by now, not
thousands.
Hundreds.
Even better.
Well, we already made more than 50 investments, so you can imagine that the percentage is very, very, very low considering what I said. And to answer your question is the following. First of all, as we discussed already, it has to be a game, and it has to be a real game. Mm. Now, since we are usually investing in very, very early stages, we cannot see the full game. But I have to tell you that today, if they don't have at least a demo, like I wouldn't even call it an alpha version. It can be a pre-alpha version. But just to see something that they actually created and built, so we will be able to understand if they actually understand gaming at all. The second part would be everything related to the selection of the blockchain. The third part would be everything related to the crypto tokenomics, which is probably one of the most important key factors for the success of the project. And lastly, everything related to their abilities and capabilities with regards to the Web3 and crypto industry in general. And just to make a point, don't think that the last part that I mentioned means that if the founders don't have practical experience within the Web3 and crypto industry, it means that we will not be investing in them. Absolutely, that's not the case. Actually, in some cases, it's actually an advantage for us because when we talk to crypto founders and we ask them, this is your first project? And they say, no, it's actually my sixth or seventh project. And then I'm asking them, in what time frame? And they say 2-3 years, and that's when the call is ended.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that raises a lot of red flags, right? Like, what happened to the other ones? Why were they failing so quickly?
I'm not even bothering asking, to be honest.
The call just ends right there. Easy enough.
No, seriously, I mean, for me, a dedication of founders is one of the most important things. If I can't see that they dedicated themselves fully, completely, for at least a period of 2-3 years for one specific project, it's game over. And the pun intended.
Well, because at that point, if they're doing 6 projects in 2-3 years, it almost seems like they're not even putting in the effort and trying, right? They have no dedication towards the long-term goal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you would be surprised that that's the industry standard, unfortunately. Mm.
Well, are there
I'm not speaking about 6 projects, but the industry standard is... When you ask them about the last 2-3 years, they will and even if they don't answer immediately, but if you keep asking them, you see that they worked on a few projects during that time, and some of the time on more than one project at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same as like going and applying to a job somewhere. Like, imagine that you are a manager of a fast food chain, and you go into somewhere, and you're like, oh, hey, here's my resume. I've worked at managing a McDonald's, a Chick-fil-A, an In-N-Out, a this, a that, a Wendy's, a Burger King, all in the last 2 years. And immediately the employees are going to be like, what did you do to have this kind of turnover? But the same, you know, funny enough, the same applies here, right? People want consistency. They want to show that you're going to be able to stay on top of something and like make that long-term dream come to reality. Because if you can't sell yourself, you're not going to be able to sell a project to thousands or millions of other people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one last point that I would like to highlight is the fact that we will never invest in any project that even one of the co-founders or the core team members is interested in remaining anonymous. That's like a complete deal breaker immediately. And it doesn't matter what's the explanation and no matter what. And actually, this is my biggest advice to any investor who is listening to us. And I'm never giving any financial advice, but I am telling you that today, to invest in any project while one of the team members is anonymous is completely insane, in my opinion. Like, completely insane, seriously.
There's too much risk involved, right?
It's not just a matter of too much risk. Forget about the risk. If they don't want to disclose their identities, it means that something is wrong, period. And nobody can convince me otherwise. If you're raising funds from investors, don't even get me started on mom and pop investors from the public. I'm just talking about any investor right now, and you're not willing to disclose yourself. I mean, it was another industry standard within the crypto industry, but it's completely insane. Seriously, like completely insane. So if anyone is listening to us and planning to pitch their project, don't even bother unless you are willing to completely disclose yourself. And just to clarify, we will also ask to see your ID just to make sure that that's you.
Fair enough. Well, I think that kind of begs the question. Are there any projects out there that you're allowed to talk about? I don't want to get you in trouble, but are there any blockchain-based projects out there, gaming projects, that caught your eye right now?
So, yes, there are. But instead of telling you the ones that caught my eye recently, I can tell you about two or three projects that Cointelligence Fund invested.
Okay.
And they didn't even launch yet. So definitely interesting for everyone to take a look. And I'll tell you about the following. So first of all, I'd like to mention Cradles. Cradles is an amazing open space metaverse. And it is actually the kind of game that I am into myself personally. And it's focused on everything related to dinosaurs and fighting dinosaurs and so on. And one of the things that I love the most about this project is the fact that they actually managed to do something that I didn't see anyone do before. So everyone knows that everything with the blockchain-based games is based on NFTs because that's the way that you can own your in-game characters and items. But what these guys did, the team behind Cradles, is make the NFTs changeable, which is very, very interesting for games because when you play and you use items, they are supposed to change, at least some of them,
like level in real up or life. Something.
Level up or become not as good as they used to be because they become rusty. Oh. Like if we talk about weapons or if it's, let's say, an item that is supposed to be considered a consumable, which you're not supposed to have all the time. So it just should be gone at some point and so on. The second example that I would like to give you is a project called Beast League. Beast League actually created a metaverse based on everything related to animals. That's why the name Beast. And they created a casual set of games. The first one is basketball, and they're planning to build other types of games based on the same mechanisms. And I can tell you that when I actually played the alpha and the beta versions with my kids, together with my kids, I can tell you that we've had so much fun. And while we did that, we also discovered some bugs, of course, because that was the purpose of me playing with my kids' team at home. I can tell you that we've had so much fun. And if I compare it to the big traditional mainstream casual games, I think that these guys are going to give them a very, very, very serious fight. So I'm excited about these two projects very much.
I think that's great, because when I asked that question, I'm sure a lot of people were like, oh, he's going to talk about Axie Infinity or Decentraland or Sandbox, and these are names that people haven't heard of right off the rip. Like, what are your thoughts of those big names that have been around out there? Because I don't know about you, I don't have too much animosity towards them, but I just don't think that they're great faces to represent the space.
Not only, you're being very polite and very politically correct, as they say. Let me put it this way. I played Axie Infinity for 5 to 6 hours to make sure that I actually understand Axie Infinity. First of all, it's not a game. It's a bullshit game. You can put a bot to play the game and it will do as good as you do as a human person. That says everything. But I have to tell you that unlike many people out there that are claiming that Axie Infinity is a Ponzi scheme, I don't think that the founders intended, I can't tell you for sure, I'm guessing here, but I don't think that they intended to scam anyone. I think that they just mismanaged the company. Yeah. Beside the fact that they just built a bullshit game, which is completely fine because there's, I mean, it's not fine, but there's so many out there that are bullshit games, but they didn't have any intention to steal money or scam people and so on. But that's my personal opinion. And I think that with regards to the other names that you mentioned, I think that there's two huge issues. One, I think that the blockchain technology is not there yet. We need to improve so much for things to be registered in real time on the blockchain as they tried to do.
Yeah.
And the second part is I think that they lack a bit of execution. And I am being nice here. And the main reason is that they already made a fortune.
Yeah.
Why would they want to make such a great effort now, considering that they already made their millions over millions by selling the tokens for these projects?
Well, I want to get your thoughts on who you think the face of the crypto gaming space is now, because for a while I felt like it was kind of Gala, you know, maybe Axie a little bit. But with everything that's been going on over at Gala, I feel as if there is a void in the crypto gaming space and that it truly doesn't have a face anymore. Like, there is no person or project to look up towards. Like, this is the definitive leader of the crypto gaming space. And I think that's probably for the best. But, you know, what do you think of that whole situation? Like, who do you see stepping up and kind of taking on that role?
So beside saying, and I'm going to be completely, completely non-impartial here.
Okay.
But beside a few of my portfolio companies, I don't see anyone out there that can actually take that position. I completely agree with you that Gala Games actually had that chance and they completely screwed that up with that stupid lawsuit against each other, obviously. Unfortunately, the situation right now is so horrible in our industry, in my opinion, that I can't really answer that question right now. It's going to take some time for the industry to recover from everything that's happened, and not only with regards to games, but everything that's happened with the bankruptcies, FTX, Celsius Network, and their friends. And with regards to games, I think that people just try to become too rich too quick.
Yeah.
And that's why we are in this situation. So it's going to take us some time. Maybe the next time that we have a chat, I will be able to tell you who's going to take the lead for this.
Yeah. You know, I don't think that it's an awful thing at the end of the day. And here's why. Because what this does is this opens up the floor for a truly great project to come in and lead by example. And I completely agree with you. I think Gala had the opportunity to do that and they fumbled the bag. And so now we kind of have almost a clean slate of sorts where we have room for someone else to come in and take that market share. And, you know, hopefully the next person that comes in and does that is a really solid project that knows what they're doing. And that's all I can hope for.
Agreed. Beside the fact that meanwhile, too many people lost their money, including life savings. And that's the biggest thing that I will say that I can't agree with the statement that it's a good thing.
Yeah.
I know that you didn't mean you didn't refer to that part, but yeah. I'm just emphasizing that because beside that, I agree with you.
No.
And I've been saying myself, I did a social media post about 6 months ago saying that I think that the entire industry should be flooded, similar to the Noah Ark's flood story. And that post did a lot of a lot of noise back then because people actually agreed with it,
yeah.
Many of them. And that's why I keep mentioning that not only the founders are scammers in our industry, too many of them, actually most of them, it's also the investors, which is absolutely insane in my opinion. That's something that I didn't see in other industries, to be honest.
No, well, fair enough. Well, I think all this begs the question, how do people capitalize on this opportunity of crypto gaming? Because it seems to be, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but it seems to be something that you believe is going to play a massive part in the future of society. It just might not be something that happens today, next month, you know, maybe not within the next year. You know, you both of us believe that it's going to happen, but it could be a little bit further out than people might want. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely. I think that the revolution is starting. You can say that it started, but I'm saying that it's starting. And I think, yes, it's going to take a few good years for us to see the real results for everything related to blockchain-based games.
Awesome. And so in order to get to this mainstream global adoption where we have a large majority of people that are playing video games, playing blockchain-based games, what needs to happen for us to get to that point?
So I think that the first is what we already discussed with regards to the level of the games, the quality of the games themselves. As soon as we will be able to see high quality games, it's just going to happen of its own. And the second part, I think that the industry itself, with no regards to games, the entire blockchain and crypto industry must be regulated, we have to stop with the wild, wild west. It doesn't stop. It didn't stop until now. And without the proper regulation, which I don't see anytime soon, by the way, they keep talking about it all the time, but they're not doing too much. I think these two elements are going to be the most crucial ones for the advancement and progress of the industry in general and specifically blockchain-based games.
And so when it comes to capitalizing on this opportunity, this has to be one of the most frequent questions that I get asked. I'm sure you get it as well. But people are saying, hey, do I invest in the games at an early stage? Do I buy their tokens? Do I buy their NFTs? Do I be the person to play these games? Like, there's so many different ways that people can capitalize, but what are the ones that might be worthwhile from your perspective?
So I'm going to answer that question in a way that you are not expecting, to be honest.
All right.
And I'm sure that the founders of the project that we've invested in are going to be a little bit pissed off when they hear me say that, but I'll tell you the following. If you are going to invest, most chances you're going to lose your investment. Most people invest in cryptocurrencies, they completely lose everything that they invested or most of it. That's the according to data that I have gathered and reviewed in the last 6 years, it doesn't change. I don't see it changing anytime soon. And as much as I'm considered to be a crypto enthusiastic or fanatic or whatever you want to call me, and beside the fact that we are very happy with our investments in the last few years, and specifically with regards to blockchain-based games, and beside the fact that we are very happy with our investments, I can tell you that most people will lose their money. And that's why my advice is, unless you really, really, really know what you're doing, and unless you can really, really afford to lose that money, do not dare to invest in anything in this industry. It's as simple as that. And the last thing that you should do is listen to your family and friends with regards to investments, and not because they don't care about you, because most likely they don't understand anything themselves, even if they sound like they understand.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it sounds like they understand.
There's an easy rule here that was always said in the stock market, but I think it equally applies in crypto. If you don't understand what you're investing in, don't invest in it. You shouldn't be investing in things that you don't understand. And that's the mistake that people make. And then when something doesn't go according to plan, they don't know why. They don't know when to get out. They don't know when to exit at either a loss or a take profit because they don't understand what they invested in the first place.
Exactly.
Well, On, hey, we really appreciate you coming on. It's great to hear from someone who is so deeply woven into this blockchain-based gaming side of things. So where can people continue to follow you on your journey and track everything that you're doing?
So it's very easy to find me because I'm the only one with my full name, On Yavin. So if you look me up on LinkedIn or Twitter, you can easily find me. And I invite everyone to reach out. And if anyone would like to ask me questions, I'm always happy to answer questions. If founders would like to schedule a meeting with me, I'm very happy to schedule a meeting, even when I don't think it's relevant for CoinTelligence Fund. I'm always happy to help young founders, and I'm inviting everyone to reach out and try me.
Awesome. Well, you heard it here first. If you are looking to build the next generation of crypto games, or you're a gaming fan at all, this is going to be your man to check out. So On, once again, thank you, my man.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure. Bye-bye for now.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.